Man, welcome back to Church Online. Man, I'm so glad you chose to tune in and join us. And this is week two of our series on Jonah, the life of Jonah. We started last week in Jonah chapter one, and we learned some things. You know, God, his word came to Jonah. God called him and commissioned him to go to Nineveh and to preach against their wickedness, to cry against it. What we learned last week was everything in Jonah's life was right, you know. His name means dove. We've seen a picture of the Holy Spirit. God's word came to him. His father's name even means that, like truth and God's word. So like everything can still be right, and Jonah chose wrong. And we learned that, man, we can do the same thing, right? Another thing last week in review that we learned was that when God's people are not right with God, then they're not concerned for others. You know, we're supposed to love God with everything we have. And then the second commandment is love your neighbors, yourself, love people. And so this is why Jonah, with his prejudice, he did not want those Gentile people to repent. He didn't want to go cry against their wickedness, right? Because he wasn't right with God. God's people weren't right. So church, we need to make sure we're right with God. That'll give us the right compassion for others. The next thing we learned last week was that he was told to arise and go preach, right? Arise, go to Nineveh. Well, he did half obedience. He arose, but he fled. He rose up to flee. We got to watch that, don't we? And we also learned last week that he ran from God's presence. And we started learning from Scripture, it's impossible. You can't run from God's presence. It's almost a comedy. Don't fool yourselves. Putting your head, you know, under the sheets does not protect you from anything. It just, in your mind, it might help you out. But the bottom line is, even David said this, if I make my bed in hell, man, Lord, you are there. We can't run from God's presence. And a cool thing we learned, too, is as he was opposing God, we learned that anytime we ever oppose God, we go down, right? That's what it says. He went down to Joppa. He went down to a boat. He went down to the sides of the boat. Then the fourth thing, he went down, laid down to sleep, right? So anytime we oppose God, we are going down. And then we ended last week with seeing that when you disobey God, it says in Jonah 1:3 that he found himself a ship and he paid the fare. He paid the price himself. Anytime we go against God, we will pay a great price. But God, when he orders something, he pays for it, doesn't he? Yeah, that's exactly right. So now it's brand new content. Are you ready? Let's get prayed up. Make sure in our heart we're ready to get this. I'm prayed up. I want God to use me to take my study preparation. May his words come out of my mouth. May you be ready to hear it. Let's start in verse 4. Okay, it says in Jonah 1:4, but the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. And so we see in Jonah chapter 1 in verse 4, Jonah's on a boat heading the opposite direction where God told him to go. He's going opposite. So it says the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea. There was a great storm or a tempest. The ship was like to be broken. So let's talk about this a little bit. So the first thing, point we're going to make today is that, see, the Lord sends Jonah to Nineveh. Jonah runs opposite. He disobeys. But here we see the Lord sends a great wind and it obeyed. God sent a great wind, and the Bible says, and there was a mighty storm. That's right. You know, Jesus has power, right? Jesus has power, the Bible says, over disease. We see it all the time in the Gospels. Luke 4:38 is a great example. He has power over demons, even demonic forces. I mean, Jesus has power over that. Jesus has power over death. We've seen him raise people from the dead. Remember Lazarus? Lazarus, come forth. He comes forth. It's a beautiful story. In Revelation, we learn he has power over Satan, right? Jesus has power over all this evil. So, it should not surprise us, he has power over nature. And we see here that he sent a great wind, and man, the wind obeyed, man. It went. There's a story in Mark chapter 4 and verse 39. In Mark chapter 4 and verse 39, let me get there. Mark 4:39, and it says this. In Mark 4:39, it says that, and there was a great storm, and then and the disciples were in the boat. They thought they were going to die. And in verse 39, it says, "And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased. There was a great calm." And they were amazed. As a matter of fact, you know what they said in verse 41? "What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" That's right. We struggle with our will obeying God, but nature listens every time, right? So we see it very clearly here that the winds and the sea obey his voice. And so it says that the wind obeyed, caused a great storm, but it says the ship was like to be broken. The ship was like to be broken. So here's our next point. The Lord is willing to break a ship just so he can break his man. God is willing to break this ship just to break this man, a guy with a rebellious, hard heart. So basically, we see in the story that running from God, it's causing storms, man. It's causing brokenness. And you know what's crazy? For everybody involved. We're going to see in the very next verse that even the guys working on this boat, man, they were afraid. Their lives were in serious danger all because of Jonah. You never suffer by yourself, man, right? Sin is awful. Rebellion against God, it makes others suffer. Hey, pops, your wife at home suffers because of you. Our sin choices, mom and dad, our kids will suffer for that, right? It's true. That's why the Bible even tells a pastor, you better rule your house well. Because if you don't rule your house well, how are you going to take care of the church of God? Our lives affects other people, right? People don't like to believe that, but it's true. So God's willing to break this ship, to break his man. But I want to point out a verse in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 31. It's a verse that says, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. Don't go against God. God's not playing here, right? He's running, and all of a sudden, there's this massive storm, and the boat's about to be broken to pieces, right? Wow. It reminds me in Matthew 21:44, speaking of Jesus being the cornerstone, it says, if we fall on this stone, we can be broken. But if it falls on us, it'll grind us to powder. This word broken is important. You know, Jesus was broken for you and me, the Bible says. We do communion. This is my body, which was broken for you. Jesus preached to heal the brokenhearted. Luke 4:18 says that. He says, I was sent to heal the brokenhearted man. Jesus broke down barriers, right? The great sin barrier between me and God, and also the barrier between even Jew, Gentile. Like, that wall came down. Jesus is all about the breaking. So basically, you can see in the story, as the ship's getting ready to be broken, if Jonah would just be tender to the Lord, and he'd be broken and have compassion like God said to go to these people, man, deliver the goods. If Jonah would have been broken, then all of this broken craziness in this whole story of this boat and all these people fearful and eventually a whale coming. I mean, this story gets absolutely crazy. All of this drama would not have to take place if the man of God would just be broken. But God was willing to do the breaking. God's willing to break a ship. God's willing to put other men in jeopardy to get his man right. God's willing to cause a whale to come from the deeps to take his man, just to get his man where he wants him to. This is our God. He's passionate, and he'll go to extreme measures to get us where we need to be. A lot of people don't, a lot of people love the song, The Reckless Love of God. I've heard a lot of people not like it because they feel like, oh, it's calling God's love like God's careless or reckless. That's not what that song is. That song is basically like this. God is extreme. He'll do whatever it takes, right? That's what I love about it. Let's go to verse 5, Jonah 1:5. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay, and he was fast asleep. So verse 5, the ship's almost broken. God sent the storm and it obeyed. And all of a sudden, we even see, like, these guys, these professionals, man, they're even afraid. So let me give you a point here. One point is, remember this, fleeing from God. Jonah fled from God. He's on a boat, right? All sounds good. But fleeing from God is no cruise ship. See, this was a mariner. This would be a sailor or men of the sea. These were workers on a boat. And then it says they started casting forth wares that were in the ship, right? Just to lighten the load. So basically they were carrying cargo. And these cargo were not passengers. These were items, right? Because you know what? This was a business boat, man. This was a working boat. This was a boat for shipping items elsewhere. This wasn't the Titanic, man. This wasn't it. This was no passenger boat, except for Jonah. See, because the Bible says he went and found a ship. There was no passenger boats going this way at the time. So he paid a fare, paid these guys off, ended up going down with the cargo, and he's down at the bottom of this boat sleeping. So just remember that, that this is not some cruise ship. But, you know, it sounds good, right? Man, Jonah paid the fare. He got himself on a boat. Man, he's taking a nice cruise, right? No, it wasn't like that at all. And it just reminds me of people. People like to talk a big talk, don't they? But I'll tell you this much. I've ran from God before. I've been there, and I can tell people, I know you're lying, dude. You are not fine. I was in a mall one time, and there was a lady that had left her husband, and she'd left our church. And I seen her. I was like, hey, girl. I said, man, how you doing? She said, I'm doing fine, man. Everything's good. You know, and she was with a friend. I walked away with my wife, and I was convicted. I turned back around. I said, hey. She stopped, and I walked up to her, and I said, hey, you can't fool me. You can't disobey God and things to be fine and things to be right. And you know what? The tears started to flow because it's true, right? This is, it's no cruise ship, man, when you flee from God, right? And so Matthew 23 and verse 25 and 26, you know, Jesus talks to religious leaders. And you know, Jesus, I like what he says here. He says, because religious leaders, it says like Matthew 23, verse 25, hey, woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of the cup then may be clean. And then the next verse, you know, he says in verse 27, he calls them, you guys are like beautiful caskets, man. Everything looks fancy and looks really good, but inside, you're dead. There's a dead man inside there. So it just reminds me that sometimes you can be on a cruise, man, life looks good. But man, if you're fleeing from God, it's not good. Just because it appears okay doesn't mean it's okay. They're just thinking Jonah's trying to get some cheap trip to go somewhere, right? No, it's not true at all. He's running from God, and eventually he tells them this, and they figure it out. Okay, the next thing you want to see here is in verse 5. It says at the end of this verse that he was fast asleep. Like, these guys are scared. They're throwing stuff overboard, and yet it says Jonah was fast asleep. So basically, here's the point. He had no concern. Sometimes we find ourselves sleeping when other people are scared, man. People are scared, and we find ourselves dozing off, right? It says in verse 5, these mariners, man, these men... were afraid. It says down in verse 10, if you read it, it says, and even the workers there, they were afraid. But if you look at Jonah 1:9, you know what Jonah says when they were asking who he is? He just says, oh, this is who I am. He put in there, and I fear the Lord. Dude, you're sleeping. Like, you ran from God. Now there's a storm that's causing these professional men of the sea. They're scared. And you're sleeping. Oh, you fear the Lord, do you? I like Ecclesiastes 5:7. It's a great verse, but just basically says, many words there are vanities. But what you really need to do is fear God. Talk is cheap, man. Quit talking that way, dude. Proverbs 14:23 says, the talk of lips tendeth to penury or to poverty. You know, you can talk all you want to. Talk is cheap. In Matthew 15:8, Jesus even says, a lot of people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me, man. Let's not be like Jonah here, right? He's sleeping other people. He don't have no concern, right? Now, here's one of my favorite parts of this chapter. It says in verse 5, these guys were afraid. It says, and cried every man unto his God and cast forth the wares that were in the ship. Two things. What we're going to get here is lost people, heathen people, are going to give us some incredible biblical advice. You ready? The first one, it says, hey, they cried out unto their gods. So first of all, when we get in a storm, when there's massive trouble in our lives, the first thing we should do is cry out to the Lord. The second thing they did was cast forth dead weight. They lightened the load. Those two things, I'd like to break them down a little bit for you. You know what we need to do? Cry out to the Lord. We just did a series on mental health, and that was the biggest point, really, on mental health. Like, a lot of times, what we need to do is we find ourselves in turmoil. There's a storm in life. We don't know. It's chaos. It's darkness, whatever. The very first thing we need to do is we need to cry out to the Lord, the God who created us, that put this whole thing together, the God that's behind the storm. We need to cry out to Him. Listen at these verses. I got a list of them here, man. Psalms 18:6. In my distress, I called on the Lord. Stress. I'm distressed. Call on Him. Psalms 34:17. Cry, and the Lord will deliver you out of your troubles. You might be going through some trouble today, feeling a lot of stress in your life. You don't know what tomorrow's going to hold. Cry. Don't just cry tears. Just don't drown yourself in Netflix and Snicker bars. Cry to the Lord. Psalms 106 and verse 44 says, He regarded their affliction when they cried out to Him. We've got a tender, compassionate, gentle God, man. Cry out to Him. That's what He said. These lost guys were just crying out to the gods of their choice. There was obviously several nationalities, several religious groups on this boat. Jonah's sleeping. He knows the true God. He's sleeping, and they're crying out to their false gods. What a testimony, man. Psalms 107:19, it says, cry in your trouble, man. Let's cry out to Him. I don't know what you're going through right now, but cry out to Him. Psalms 147:9 says, the ravens cry. You know what? They get fed. They're annoying, ain't they? Them big blackbird. They get fed, the Bible says. We need to cry more often, don't we? Let's take this biblical advice from these lost people. There's a storm coming. There's brokenness around us, and maybe the very boat we're in is breaking up, the very life we live. Cry out to Him today. He's going to answer you. Then it says the second thing they did was they started casting forth the wares. They were casting forth the dead weight. This is something we need to do for sure. You see this in the Bible, and it's pretty cool. There's a guy, Tobiah, in the Old Testament that's really a disaster. I love Nehemiah 13. It says they went in. This guy said, they cast forth all of the household stuff of Tobiah out of the chamber, man. Get that stuff out of here. They just were casting it out. It does not belong here. Clean house, man. That's what basically is being said here. Clean the house. Jeremiah 22:19. It says, you want to be rebellious, go against God, you know what the wicked, you know what they'll do? It says, cast you outside of the city. They'll dig a hole, they'll bury you like a donkey, man. Of course, it uses the word ass. They'll bury you like an animal. Like, you know, come on, man. That's how you'll be cast out. This is how we need to behave. With things in our life that are causing us trouble, the storms in life, we're not putting God first. Take these things and treat them like they are. Don't give them that high a priority. Dig a big hole and bury them, man. It's not worth it. You know, it's kind of like, I love the term the Bible uses when it talks about demons and devils. It says they need cast out. Cast those things out. Most of us, when it comes to things that are evil and demonic, we're inviting it to our table. Don't let that sit in your living room on your couch. Kick it out, man. Get rid of it. These guys, all these things, man, these are things that could make them money. They could potentially be valuable. No, you don't understand. There's a storm coming, right? It ain't worth it. It's not worth the money. It's not worth the time. Throw it overboard, man. Life's short, right? Eternity is coming, man. Don't lose your soul by trying to gain the world. It don't work. John 15 talks about this casting off principle is like a branch. And I got a yard with a lot of trees in it, man. So every time you mow, you got to go, you're picking. I just take these branches, cast them into a big pile, it'll burn them. You know, they just cast that stuff out, right? 2 Corinthians 10:5, key verse. We should cast down anything, any high thing, anything that exalts itself above God. Cast the dead weight off, right? It was a very good advice, man, from these guys. They were crying out to God, then they cast forth the dead weight. Let me give you another principle here in verse 5, and that's this. Stormy times demand for you and me to lighten the load. When life gets difficult and tough, lighten the load. This is an extreme story, but several years back when my daughter got cancer, you know immediately what we did? We're like, hey, Becky, you're going to have to quit your job to take care of her and be at the hospital. My wife quit her job. We're like, oh, how are we going to afford this car payment? We had a nice car, really sharp. We loved it. We're going to sell it. That's what we're going to do. That car meant nothing all of a sudden when it came to my daughter. See, because a stormy time, it put things in perspective for us, and it demanded of us to lighten the load. I like that phrase. I like where it says, cast forth the wares in the ship and the sea, and it says, to lighten it of them. I like that word right there. And when you study the Bible, you know, to lighten the load is this. You're not going to go run a competitive race with work boots and jeans and a winter coat on. You know, you ever notice some extreme athletes? Sometimes I look out there and I'm like, man, that dude out there looked like he's running naked. Them ladies hardly have any clothes on. Well, you know why? Anything they can do to lighten the load. That's why swimmers, they'll shave their heads. Or they'll get the caps, right, to tuck all their hair in. Anything hanging out that's extra, like anything, it could be just, you know, a tenth of a second, man. It don't matter. They're going to do anything they can to lighten the load. And I really like this. So stormy times demand of you and me to lighten the load. And words the Bible uses, the same words here is like Exodus 18:22. It talks about it shall be easier. It uses that word easy. Or the other word the Bible uses, the word so you can be swifter, like in 2 Samuel 1, it says, swifter, so you can be swift as an eagle, right? No weight holding you back. There's some birds of prey, man. There's certain types of buzzards and vultures. They will eat so much and fill their faces so much with the dead carcass laying there that they can no longer fly. And then guess what? The enemy comes, gets them. They can't get away. Eagles don't play that, do they? No, they're swift. So I guess, Christian, I want you to know today, God wants you to soar, man. He wants you to fly, lighten the load. I just want to tell you today, it is not worth it. Let me give you kind of a crude example here, but the Bible uses it, so I'd like to share it with you. Deuteronomy 23:12, it tells the nation of Israel as they were marching and traveling, it says, when you're in your camp, make sure when you got to go to the bathroom that you go outside the camp. But it uses the term, it says, when you go to ease yourself. That's going to the bathroom. I like that phrase because here, that's what, you know what they were doing? They were trying to lighten the load of this ship. And they were just like, man, we need to get this thing light so that we can get through this storm. Like maybe it's more manageable or more controlled, you know, whatever it takes, you know. And so basically, it uses, I like the Bible when it says, to ease thyself. You know, they've proven that people have a lot of stress in their life. You can see it, and you can see it by people a lot of times have troubles with their bowels. They're constant. You know, kids that have a lot of abuse and trauma in their life, one of the sure-tell signs is it's like, man, they're not putting waste off well in their life. Their body's not processing and digesting correctly, and so they always have issues sometimes going to the bathroom. Christians, I think maybe we're having a difficult time easing ourselves. You know, to ease yourself, you know how it is. If you really got to go to the bathroom, you can even, people will cramp, they'll get sick. Yeah, that's waste that needs to come out. Christians, what's the waste in our life that needs to come out right now? And sailing your ship, man, what is it? During a difficult time, God will show you. Hopefully it won't take a storm. You're like, I need to get rid of this. We need to do this. We need to get rid of this. This is not worth it. Yeah, it's not worth it. You'll be miserable. It'll really affect your spiritual health. So just let stormy times demand us to lighten the load. Man, lighten the load. There's nothing better than going and just going and lighten your load and you feel so much better, don't you? Yeah, because that stuff don't belong there. So it's a perfect picture of what we're learning here. And let's move past that subject. Are you ready? Just notice, too, at the end of verse 5, he was fast asleep. He's laying down there. The bad part about it is, I hope we can learn this for you and me, that a lot of us, man, let's not be sleeping when there's saving to do. There's people that need rescued. There's work to be done. These guys are working their guts out to save their own lives and even saved Jonah, and he's down there sleeping, man. Christian, let's not be sluggards, man. The Bible says in Proverbs 6:9, how long will you sleep, old sluggard? Check this verse out. There's a verse in, I like Proverbs 24. It speaks of a lazy guy. And in Proverbs 24, it says in verse 30, it says this, I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man, void of understanding. And it says, lo, it was all grown over with thorns, nettles, covered the face thereof. The stone wall there was broken down. See, there's all this maintenance due, and he wasn't doing it. We got a big yard at home, man. And when I don't keep up with it, and I get behind, I hate it. There's so much work to be done. It's like compounds, right? And this is what it's saying here. A lazy man won't do anything. And you know what it says? You look down, everything's broken, weeds everywhere. And it says, yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man. Ain't that sad? It's a testimony, I think, of like Jonah in the bottom of this boat. A testimony spiritually of us Christians. Man, our lives are falling to pieces. Maintenance has not been done. Our spirit, and you know what we're doing? We're sleeping. Maybe there's a sluggard issue here, a little lazy issue, man. Let's deal with that if we need to today. God has spoken to us that, man, you got to get off the couch. I don't know how anybody can spend that much time in front of the TV. You can't do it. You got to set down the phone, right? There's things we just got to do, and there's no time to sleep, be a sluggard when there's a lot of saving to do. Let's finish this up by looking at verse 6. Verse 6, it says, so the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, what meanest thou, old sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. So I guess I just wanted to point out, God calls this great wind and sent it out. It obeyed, right? The ship's about to be broken. The guys go to him. They're afraid. They're like, hey, everybody cry out to your God. We got to lighten this load, right? So we're seeing this. Finally, the shipmaster goes down there and says, hey, dude, he says, what meanest thou, old sleeper? He calls Jonah. Guys, this is a prophet of God. This is a man of God. This guy should be out causing trouble. That's what men of God do. They preach God's truth. They go out and stir some trouble up, right? People know that's a man. That's a woman of God, right? Not a sleeper. This is sad. I guess the last point I just want to bring up is don't fool yourself. People are reading your mail. People are reading my mail. That's called a testimony, right? Sometimes we get offended or we think people are judging us. I get it. I get caught up into that too sometimes. A lot of times, hey, I got news for you, man of God. Everybody's stressing up here, calling on their gods, their false gods that ain't even real. You know the one true God, and you're down there snoozing, man. Yeah, people call you by your reputation, man, by your testimony. They're reading your mail. In Acts 11:26, it says there was a group of people. They were following Christ. They were called disciples. And these disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. See, because of who they were following, Jesus, people says, man, these guys are Christians. That's what they called them. They didn't call them sleepers. They called them Christians like Christ, because they were following Christ. Paul in 1 Corinthians 3:1, you know, he says, man, I'd like to speak to you guys and straight up, you know, like men of God, but instead I got to speak to you like children. And you know what that is when there's a grown man acting like a baby. A lot of times we see people that have mental problems, right? And they're just, they've had delays in their growth, and maybe they're just slow. And it's sad. We have compassion. And we have homes around here where people can actually stay, where a guy could be 50 years old and be in his 50s, and yet he acts like he's 8. And it's kind of sad. And Paul has to address these people and says, you know what your testimony is? Your testimony is you're a child. Oh, that's a sad, sad situation for a believer that should be spiritual and grown and mature, eating the meat of the word, rescuing other people. And you're sleeping, man. Your testimony is, hey, sleeper. Hey, you're just like a child. So that's a good spot to wrap this week up, that people are reading our mail. You ready for a quick recap? The Lord sends a great wind, and it obeyed, unlike Jonah. The next thing we see is the Lord is willing to break this ship, to break his man, to break his heart for things that really matter. Also, fleeing from God, it never puts you on a cruise ship. He's on a working ship, man. It's not no picnic on this ship, and these guys are rough. That's what fleeing from God will get you. It don't get you the sliding board and the Disney cruise. We often can sleep when other people are scared or concerned, and we need not do that. And remember, we've seen that lost people here give great biblical advice, right? Cry unto your God, and then let's lighten the load here. Two good things that we can do today, especially when there's a storm. Hey, cry out to the Lord today. He will answer. And then cast forth any dead weight or things in your life. Free up your schedule, man. That's what the Bible says. Man, stormy times demand that we lighten the load. Stop being so busy. You got to say no. Change your calendar. That's what we all have to do, right? And so Jonah's down there sleeping when there's saving to do. Then the last thing we just picked up on was that people are reading our mail. We never want that reputation. We're the man of God. We have every ability to rescue people around us. And we got the reputation of being lazy, man, being a sleeper. So, man, I hope you're enjoying Jonah. I sure am. It's a fun book to study, to preach on. There's so many good things in here for us. I just hope it's a blessing to you. I hope you'll tune in next week. We'll pick it up on Jonah chapter 1 and verse 7. See you next week.
We are the Maple City Baptist Church. Thanks for joining us for Church Online. I hope you enjoy the series on the book of Jonah. The newest message drops every Saturday night at 7. If you like what you're hearing, there's more. We're on several social media platforms. Links are in the description below. Thanks again for watching.